Joining us now, Dave Pignota of the Fourth Period. Follow him on Twitter at the Fourth Period. You're hanging out with the Cup all day. You and Jordan Binnington, yeah?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're at the one of the local police stations down here in Toronto, having a good time. It's been a busy day, but a fun one for sure.
It's got to be pretty cool. Like us regular folk don't often get to go to these Stanley Cup party parades. So it sounds like it's a lot of fun, but you're stepping out to give us a couple of minutes of hockey talk. Who has had the best offseason in your eyes, Dave?
You know what? There's a few teams. There's a few teams that have done a pretty solid job. I know you guys were talking about Florida, and you know, no Panarin, which I get. But I mean, the additions that they made based on how they performed this past season, you know, you couple it with one of the best goaltenders that we've seen recently in Sergei Bobrovsky. This was a solid ad, certainly, to the Florida Panthers. They strengthened themselves.
There go the sirens.
Little bit of celebrations going on in the back. But there have been a few teams with Florida kind of leading the charge. I like what Carolina has done and brought in bringing in depth and secondary scoring to add to their unit. I like what the Dallas Stars have done as well in addressing the need for secondary scoring. So there's a few teams that are certainly at the top that needed to get some business done this summer, and so far they've accomplished that.
Where does Vancouver sit for you in that list?
I mean, you know what? I'd like to see them potentially add a little bit more from a secondary scoring position. I know they bring in Michael Ferland. Ferland is probably going to be playing first-line minutes with the Vancouver Canucks, and you add his physicality to the lineup, things change a little bit. And you add a little bit more, but this is certainly a good addition for the Canucks. They strengthen the back end. They add a little bit of secondary scoring, like I mentioned, which will pretty much be primary. So they're kind of a little above the middle of the pack from that perspective, in terms of what the Canucks have added to this point. But I like it. Nobody can argue the fact that they have not yet improved their team. They have. They've absolutely improved their roster. Now let's see, you know, if Jim Binnington has anything, Jim Benning.
Yeah.
Yep, there we go. has any tricks left up his sleeve over the summer.
Your thoughts on Ferland, how that market played out, and he certainly gets a smaller contract than I think any of us thought when we were talking about it in December, January, but landing with the Canucks, it seems like a pretty decent coup, even though you may not love the term so much.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, this was like I said, this is a solid add. And considering where he's going to be positioned on the team, where he's going to be played, they're not adding him to be a third line threat. They're adding him to be a top six threat. And like I said earlier, most likely playing on the first line, or at the very least playing alongside Pettersson. So from that perspective, I like the addition. Like I said, I like the addition for the Vancouver Canucks, and certainly something that is going to strengthen them this coming season.
Looking across the league, Dave, it's our weekly check-in on Jake Gardner. Any idea on where that's moving?
Nope. look, there are teams that are still in the mix. It's going to come down to who can free up the cap space if somebody needs to free up the cap space. If the price drops, then certainly things change a little bit for the Vancouver Canucks. For any team, Vancouver certainly being one of the teams that initially that were part of that mix, but obviously moving a little bit more towards obviously Tyler Myers, adding Jamie Benn to solidify the third pairing. But there are teams that are still circling in. And if the price drops, you could see teams like Vancouver, for example, re-enter the equation. But more so than anything, I think that he's kind of set in and around that $6 million range, maybe $6.5 million. And it's really going to come down to what team can kind of free up a little bit of additional space in order to accommodate his eventual salary.
Yeah, it's such an interesting spot that he's still out there on the market. Louis Erickson continues to be a buzz name here, and the Canucks may be trying to force him to waive his no trade clause if they can find a potential suitor, either that or threaten him with the Utica Comets. I don't know what upper state New York is kind of like through the course of the winter time. I'm not sure Louis will like it too much riding the bus. It's But that seems to be the way the situation is going. I'll ask you, like, do players around the league notice that and see how these situations play out? And you know, keep that in mind when Vancouver might be calling as a free agent suitor or something like that? Like, would the Canucks get a bad reputation if they were to do something like that with Louis Erickson?
No, I mean, look, everybody talks around the league. All the players talk to each other. You know, this guy knows that guy from junior and so on and so on. I mean, they know each other, so they certainly have those conversations and keep tabs on how the rest of the league is kind of playing out. But, I mean, given the circumstances and given the cards that have been dealt, everybody knows at what point in his career Louis Erickson is currently at. And given the circumstances, again, if things were to change, if it is to become an assignment down to the AHL, I mean, I think everybody understands. It'd be certainly a different story if he was producing consistently and they just decided they didn't want to deal with the dollars and wanted to free up a little bit of cap space. You don't get the full the full swing, but at the very least, to free up a little bit. I think everybody understands that. And you know, there's a few other players that are kind of in a similar position. So I think across the board, everybody gets it. Obviously, it's unfortunate that it's come to this, but you know, it is what it is, and they've got to make a decision. I think Louis Erickson needs to make a decision. I think the Canucks, for the most part, are set in the fact that he will not be a regular contributor at the very most for the Canucks next season. So they've got to figure out exactly what direction they want to go in. Certainly, Jim Benning is trying to accommodate him and trying to find a new spot to bring him on. But given the contract, it's not easy. So we'll see. There's still obviously plenty of time until the regular season. It's going to come down to, you know, again, those bags of tricks that he's got left and what he could pull out of it.
Yeah, and I think the landscape around the league right now, because of the cap crunch, there's a lot of teams trying to get rid of money and just really not all that many that are looking to take on your bad money right now, right?
No, well, I mean, there are teams that are willing to take on the bad money if you're doing what Toronto did with Patrick Marleau. If you're adding a first-round pick, if you're adding substantial assets to a deal to take on those types of contracts, then certainly, yeah, teams would be willing. And you know, the New Jersey Devils are one of them, and the Rangers to an extent, among others. But it's got to be, you know, the juice has to be worth the squeeze. And for a lot of these teams, there's a high premium on what that's going to be.
Dave, we'll let you get back to the celebrations with the Stanley Cup. Thanks for making a few minutes for us.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
There is Dave Pignota of the Fourth Period, at the Fourth Period on Twitter is where you can find him.